All right, so we're going to move into Romans chapter 16. Romans has 16 chapters, 1 through 16, and we've been in this book for probably 4 or 5 months, but it's been a wild ride, right? Romans was, of course, written by Paul, and Romans in the first 3-4 chapters talks about everybody's indicted. Everybody. Everybody's a sinner and in need of salvation. But then he talks about what's the good news. The good news is Jesus Christ died, shed his blood for us so that we can be forgiven. Because there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. So that means it doesn't matter what we try to do on our own to make ourselves righteous. It will never be, we'll never be righteous of our own. It would not the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we would be damned to hell. So we can rejoice in that. And so in Romans chapter 16, Paul is kind of finalizing everything here, and he's kind of defended the faith in a little bit, and he's going to talk now about how dangerous it is if anybody else comes and preaches another gospel to you. Don't listen to them, because any other gospel that Jesus, other than Jesus Christ and his shed blood for you, anything added to that or taken away is not biblical. So I titled this message, Serving Self or God. A lot of times we can get caught up in serving ourself. In other words, what's going to make me look good? What's going to make me have a higher status in life? And so I'm doing things out of my motivation to get ahead, to look good, to appear good before men. Okay? And Paul comes along and says, I don't care what I look like before men. In fact, men threw me in prison. In fact, men hung Jesus Christ on the cross. The Holy One of Israel. Men did this. He says, I don't have my opinion. I don't have an opinion that I need to get from men. I only serve God. Okay? You should get your self-worth. A lot of people in life try to find significance in their life. What's the significance of my life? Well, if you're in Christ Jesus, you've already found that significance. He is our significance. He is our hope. He is the one who is faithful. He is the one who has delivered us. He is the one who has saved us, redeemed us. So we find our significance in how much he loved us. Well, how much was that, Chuck? Well, he died for you while you weren't doing anything very good. Like we said, he died for us while we were yet a sinner. So we can rejoice in that. And so, but we find ourselves getting caught up in man's religion. And we like to call ourselves here at Grace Chapel a church without religion. And some people, whoa, what is that? What is that? Well, religion is man's ways of doing things and man's interpretations and a system of performance-based. If you do, and we're raised this way by our parents too. Like, okay, if you clean your room, Sabrina, and you brush your teeth every night, then we're going to give you a little allowance per week. And that's a reward system. And a lot of religions are set up on that. And they're set up on, you know, if you do good, the better you do, the more God's going to like you. And that's a total lie. God loves you right now as much as he'll love you forever. And he loves you enough that he died for you. So this is what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about, what is obedience? How many people like that word obey? We don't like that word, do we? We don't like the word obey. You will obey me. I'm sorry about that, but no, that's not going to happen. And so when we look at the word obedience, we automatically start doing this to God, like running from that. But I'm going to show you where obedience in the Bible is nothing like what we think it is. I'm going to show you where obedience is believing. Believing in what, Chuck? Believing in Jesus Christ. Believing in him, having faith in him. And not in yourself. Amen. So we're going to dive in here. And I'm going to go to Romans 16. And I'm going to skip over. Romans 16 starts out with a lot of thank yous. It starts out with a lot of, you know, I want to thank Phoebe. I want to thank this guy. I want to thank that person. But I'm going to go right to the meat of it. Where he says, now I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who create divisions and obstacles contrary to the teaching that you learned. Well, what's the teaching that we learned? We're going to go into that in just a second. He says, avoid them because such people do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. There's where you get your religious organizations. Why are you doing what you're doing? because I want to be up here holier than thou. And I want to work myself up the ladder. Well, there is no ladder in Christianity. It's believing. There's a cross. The ladder's been knocked down. There is no ladder. We don't have to work our way and perform and try to be better and better and better every day. God loves you just like you are. And that's, we have a hard time embracing that sometimes because we've never been told that. Work harder, Jim. Work harder, Joe. You know, do better. Read your Bible. How much are you reading your Bible? 1 hour a day? You need to up that to two. How much time do you spend in prayer? 5 minutes? You need to up that to at least 30 minutes. How much money are you giving? Oh, only 10%? You need to give 20 if you really love God. You see what I'm saying? It's this performance system, and it's working your way, and it's the religion of man. So he's saying, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting with smooth talk and flattering words. Now be careful, because who masquerades as an angel of light? Satan. Satan doesn't come to us in a red suit with a pitchfork with two ears popped up and, you know, ha, I'm here to get you. If he did, we'd be able to recognize him really quick. So instead, he's going to take the Bible and maybe something that sounds kind of correct, and he's going to spin it. Sound familiar? Kind of what news media does. They take a little clip of what you said and they spin it until it makes it say something that's not even there. Okay, so be careful about those who flatter you. The Bible talks about those. Be suspect of those who flatter. Why are you flattering me? Why are you buttering me up? Oh, I know why it is, because you want a favor. Or you want something in return. And this is not of God. So be careful of these people. So Romans 1:8, if we go back to the first chapter, it says God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Here again, it's not what you think. What's suppressing the truth? It's taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the gospel of Jesus Christ? Good news. So if you're listening to a pastor out there or a church or somebody that's preaching condemnation and wrath and performance, you're listening to somebody who is unrighteous and suppressing the truth. Hello? Most religions suppress the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus Christ and Him, His blood shed for you, minus or plus nothing. And we talk about this all the time. If you think you can add to what He did on the cross, God help you. So when we look at what he's saying here, he's saying, watch out for these people that appear really good and they appear really smooth talking and they flatter you and they butter you up, but they're doing it for their own self gain. Jesus talks about the Pharisees. What does he say? The Pharisees search the whole world over to find one proselyte. And when they do, they make him twice the son of hell. They are words of Jesus, not mine. That's pretty harsh words. They search the whole world. Why, what are they doing? They're trying to build up their organization. They're trying to look good before men. I don't really care whether you go to heaven or hell, but I want you to be a member of my church, okay? Because I need another number. It's all about the numbers. Or how much money are you giving? It's all about the money. That's what we're looking at. And so look at the fruits. Jesus said you will know them by their fruits. And Jennifer and I were talking about this. Well, what's fruit? Fruit is, if you're a believer, is making another believer. If you're an apple tree, what do you grow? Your seeds produce more apple trees. If you're an orange tree, your seeds produce more orange trees. This is why Jesus said that word, when it's sown, some will multiply sometimes 30, 60, 100. So if we're bearing fruit, we should be winning other people to Christ. Bearing fruit doesn't mean how good I look before men. We think of bearing fruit, well, I quit drinking, cussing, and chasing, so I must be bearing good fruit now. That's not it. Bearing fruit is replicating your belief into another believer. For whose glory? His, not our own. That's why when you hear a religious person talk, they will talk about how great their church is and what all they're doing for God. And when you hear a believer talk, he'll tell you, I want to tell you what all God has done for me. Not what I'm doing for God. Let me humbly tell you what God has done for me. He has saved me. He has redeemed me. He has bought me for a price. His blood shed. Let me tell you what God has done for me, not what I'm doing for him. We get it backwards. So, what is the teaching that we learned? Number one, no one is justified by works. We're going to go into this. You say, well, I'm pretty good, Chuck. I give money to the church. I feed the homeless. I volunteer X amount of hours to do this and do that. And okay, what's that got to do with how good a person you are? Nothing. What's that got to do with your salvation? Nothing. Okay, it's all about Jesus here. Righteousness. The number two is righteousness is from faith in Jesus Christ of the Bible. Faith in Jesus Christ of the Bible. That's what righteousness is. And number three, all have sinned. You can't come to Christ until you realize you're a sinner. If you think you're a good person, you're never going to come to Christ. Well, I'm pretty good. And we hear people say this all the time. Well, I don't really need to ask forgiveness for anything, but I don't need to ask God, especially for forgiveness. And really asking God for forgiveness is not even in the Bible. It's believe and you shall be saved. Repent means change your mind. Repent means I'm walking this way and I'm thinking I'm walking in my own goodness. And I realize, I'm a sinner. I'm in desperate need of a Savior. And I turn 100 degrees. I repent. I change my mind. You are Lord. You are my Lord, Jesus Christ. I am coming to you. Without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I am not righteous. That's repenting. And so we've all sinned. And then I love this. We're justified freely. Or is it going to cost us something? Freely. We're justified freely by what? His grace. Amen. So, Romans 3:20 tells us this. No one will be justified in his sight by the works of the law. What law are we talking about? The law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. Most Christians can't even tell you the Ten Commandments. But we've reduced, and we've done a good job in America reducing it to nine. Okay? We forget about that Sabbath day thing. We don't even, you know, the Sabbath day was a Saturday. We go to church on Sunday. And also, we work on Sabbath day. Okay? If you did any work at all yesterday, you violated the Sabbath day. Does that make sense? If you want to get really technical with the law, the Jewish Sabbath day was on a Saturday. So yesterday, I know Leighton and I violated the Sabbath. Where are you at, Leighton? We were chopping wood. So we didn't keep the Sabbath. So, well, we're not too worried about that one. Let's just worry about the other nine. And then we start whittling away at which ones are applicable to us and which ones are not. And we get ourselves back under the law. So we're not justified by the law because the knowledge of sin comes through the law. Why were the Ten Commandments given? Here we go again, right? Oh, well, they were given for you to obey them, Chuck. No, sir, they were not given for you to obey them. They were given for you to look at them and go, let's see. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. And you go, well, I've kept all those. And then we talk about Jesus comes along and says, no, you haven't. He's talking to the religious people. He says, every one of you guys have committed adultery. What are you talking about? I've never committed adultery. If you look at another woman with lust, you've committed adultery. I've never committed murder. If you have contempt for your brother, if you look at your brother with hate in your heart, you have murdered him. Because Jesus comes along and ups the ante. Because the law, no one could do it. So the Ten Commandments were given for you to look at and go, there is no way I can do that. Now, that is, and we're not including the 603 other laws. There's 613 laws, if you want to be perfect, that you would need to keep. And if you broke just one of them, you're under condemnation. So we look at the Ten Commandments and we go, there's no way I can do that. That's impossible. Well, that's the standard of holiness. That's God's standard. Well, what's my other option? Jesus Christ. Believe. In Jesus Christ, believe. Well, I can believe. I can do that. Well, I'm not perfect. Well, God didn't say you had to be. Well, I don't really do anything. God didn't say you had to. He said, just believe. We're talking about guys 2,000 years ago. There were no Bibles. There were no churches. There was nothing. And John the Baptist comes along and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How can he say that? Because that's what Jesus was going to do. And that's what he does when you say, Lord, I believe that you are my God, you are my Lord, and you are my Savior. And he says, I'm going to come make my residence in you. Now, this is so cool. The Holy Spirit comes and resides in you. Say, well, that's a little freaky. Well, that's the way Jesus said. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to teach you and guide you in all ways, in all truth. Amen? So we go on down to Romans 16. It says, now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed. So apart from those Ten Commandments, apart from those 600 other three laws that were given to the Jewish people, God has revealed, attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God is through what? Works? Keeping the commandments? Doing good things? Not doing bad things? No, it's through righteousness of God. It's through faith in Christ Jesus who do what? Who go to church 5 times a day, pray 7 times a day. No, it says to all who believe. Well, that's really simple, Chuck. Well, yeah, that's the gospel. But us men, us religious groups have made it into something where you got to jump through hoops to be a part of this thing. And the pressure is on to perform. And if you don't perform, you're not a good person. That's not what my Christ tells me. He says, I'm a good person just like I am right now. To all who believe, since there is no distinction. And then we go to Romans 3:23. And I grew up quoting Romans 3:23. And my mistake throughout my whole life was not finishing 3:24. Because if you go around saying, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, that leaves people feeling really bad, right? You're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. You're not a sinner anymore if you're a believer. You're a saint. You're not a sinner anymore. You can't be a sinner and a saint. You can't be half a 60% saint and 40% sinner. You're either washed totally clean by the blood or you don't have him at all. You're either counting on him or you're counting on yourself and your church. Or whatever other beliefs you might have. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But look at the other verse. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. They are justified freely by his grace. So we move on. Galatians 1:6. I am amazed. Now this is Paul writing. He says, I'm amazed that you're so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and you're turning to a different gospel. Well, what's a different gospel? Anything other than his grace. Anything that focuses on any other thing but him. Anything that elevates man above Christ. And so, not that there is another gospel. Because there is no other gospel but the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel here again means the good news. Not, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you, Tanya. I saw what you did last night. Yeah, I'm going to get you. Yeah, you need to confess 5 times over. And you need to start doing some good things to make amends for your bad things. And no, he's not. That's not the God we serve. The God says, I already knew what you're going to do before you did it. That's why God can never be disappointed in you. Because he already knew what you're going to do before you did. He can't be disappointed. Right? But we think, oh, God's disappointed in me. I can't pray anymore. I've got to go do my alms or do my good deeds before men before God will accept me back. No, no, no. That's a different gospel. That's what he's saying. So there, and that's not a good gospel, right? I got to work. I got to perform. And Jesus says, no, you don't. You don't have to perform nothing. I performed on the cross one time. I'm not going to go back up there and do it again. If you either believe or don't. And so There are some of you who are troubling and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or listen to this, an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, a curse be on him. That's pretty harsh words. But then we're dealing with someone's eternity too. And I was thinking about this today. If I was walking down the streets of Heber and I saw somebody pull a knife out and put it up to another guy, an innocent person, and I had the capability to intervene and stop that, why would I not do that? And this is what Paul is saying basically in terms of spiritual life. If somebody's preaching you something that appears to be good, but is not the gospel, it's not the grace of Christ, it's works or it's man's made religion, then let him be accursed. And this is why it's so important that we stick to the Bible and we stick to what's said here. And he says, as we have said before, I now say it again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, a curse be on him. That's why I'm very careful when I preach that I preach the gospel as it is. I don't have to agree with it. I don't have to like it. I don't have to, I may not understand it, but this is what it says. Now, we're going to talk about obedience for a little while. Ask you earlier, how many people like that word obey? We don't like that word. I don't even know how I made it 10 years in the military sometimes, because I'm kind of a rebel at heart. And if you think about it, Jesus was a rebel. Think about the life of Jesus. He came along when there was an established religious system, and he turned it upside down. And he told the religious leaders of the time, the learned ones, the educated ones, the attorneys, the PhDs, he told them, he said, you search the scriptures because you think in them is eternal life. And I'm standing right here before you and you won't even acknowledge me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The scriptures testify of me. From Genesis to Revelation, the scriptures testify of one person, Jesus Christ. And so he says here in Romans 16, the report of your obedience has reached everyone. Therefore, I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and yet innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The report of your obedience. What is obedience? Believing. Believing. Jesus is God. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. You know, we think of Jesus all the time. We think of him as our Savior. Read the Bible. He's also your Creator. He's our Creator, our Lord, and our Savior. Everything that was ever created was created by Jesus. And so this is where we say Jesus is God. And so we go on. And we look at Romans, here you go, obedience. The scepter will not depart from Judah. Well, what does that mean? Well, Judah was one of the 12 tribes. Judah was one of the 12 tribes. And when Jacob was blessing the 12 tribes, his 12 sons, he says that the scepter will not depart from Judah or the staff from between his feet until he whose right it comes and the obedience of the peoples belongs to him. Other versions of the Bible say until Shiloh comes, which Shiloh is a messianic title. And so Shiloh did come, and he came with good news. He says salvation is not just for the Jews, it's now for the Gentiles, us lowly people, because the Jews were his promised chosen nation. And now he's saying not just for the Jew, but for the Gentiles too. In fact, to the whole world, whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. He will have people in heaven from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And so we talk about obedience. Well, what's obedience? Here again, it's believing, bringing everybody together through common belief. Romans 1:5, through him we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith. It's not about I'm doing everything perfectly every day. I hadn't said a cuss word in 5 days. Boy, I'm doing good. And then I drive out into Heber traffic and somebody cuts me off and I tell them, you're number one, with a hand signal. There's a hand signal that tells people that they're number one. and then I curse them. And even if I don't curse them out loud, I curse them in my heart. And then I go, God, I blew it again. What am I going to do? Well, yeah, I'll try to be better. And God says, chill, bro. It's okay. I got you. All right? It's okay. I'm perfect. Therefore, you are perfect in me. I'm righteous. Therefore, you are righteous in me. I am holy. Therefore, you are holy by me. I am blameless, and we are blameless by him. The devil's the accuser. He's sitting there going, "You're not worthy. You're not doing things right. I saw you cuss the person out. I saw you flip them off. You need to repent." Well, that's not even what the word repent means. Repent means change your mind about who he is and go away from your own way of walking and walk with him and make him your Lord. So the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all Gentiles. Amen. And his affection toward you is even greater, 2 Corinthians says, as he remembers the obedience of all of you. Now, he's writing to the Corinthians. This is a church that was so messed up. This is a church where a son was sleeping with another guy's mom or something like that. And there were all kinds of crazy stuff going on in this church. So were they like following the letter of the law? Absolutely not. So how can we call the Corinth, Church of Corinth, obedient? Because of their belief. This is what obedience is. I believe in you, Lord, and you have received him with fear and trembling. That just means you're humble about it. You know, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's not, he's going to get me. I'm never going to approach a guy that's going to get me because I don't even want him to know what I'm doing. Because I'm going to mess up, and I know I'm going to mess up because I know what Chuck does. Chuck messes up a lot. And he's going to be disappointed in me. And now I'm going to have to perform to make him accept me back. That's a different gospel. That is not a gospel. That is not good news. Don't listen to anybody that's preaching that. So 1 Peter says, since you have purified yourself by your obedience to what? The truth. Who's the truth? Jesus. Every time you see that word truth, he is the ultimate definition of truth. His obedience to the truth. Show that you show sincere brotherly love for each other. From a pure heart, love one another constantly. Little man's doing good. Little man, we're almost done. And Hebrews says this. To whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? If not to those who disobeyed? So who's he talking about here? He's talking about the children of Israel that were in the desert that did not believe. They did not believe that God had a better thing. How many people in here believe God has a better promise for your life? Amen. How many people understand what Jeremiah says when God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans of good, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's the God we serve. So even if your circumstances are really cloudy right now and you're in this big cloud, I was talking to a guy up in Trappers Lake, Colorado last week, and he was showing me where the wildfires had come down and basically destroyed the forest 20 years ago and how they had this water line and saved the cabins that they had in there. And he said, he was pointing to a cabin across the lake. And he says, Chuck, I woke up and I couldn't even see that there was a cabin across that lake. But it was still there. And that's the way God is in our life. Sometimes we wake up in this cloud of smoke and confusion and disappointment and sorrow and depression, and we can't see 2 feet in front of us. But Jesus says, keep walking, keep walking. Look to the light. It's going to get brighter. And we walk to the light of Jesus Christ. And we finally come out of the cloud, and there's his glory. There he is standing in glory, right? With his arms open wide for you and me. Amen. No condemnation. No sorry, Tanya, we made a mistake. You need to go back and try better, and then maybe you can try again. No, it's, I love you just like you are. Come. Amen. So they didn't enter because of unbelief. So those are the ones who disobey. If you want to know who a disobedient person is, it's someone who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. That's it. So now you can add another word to who you are. I am obedient. I am obedient because I believe in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen. So we'll close out here. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation about Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept silent. What's the mystery that was kept silent? The mystery that kept silent was God was going to go first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. So we're now all included. But it's now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures according to the command of the eternal God to advance what? The obedience of faith. The obedience of faith among all Gentiles. To the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever and ever. And I'll close out, guys, by just telling a quick story. Everybody remember who's Thomas? Thomas was, he was one of the 12 disciples. And so Thomas had heard of the resurrection, but he hadn't seen Jesus yet. But the other disciples had seen him and said, Thomas, he's risen. He's not in the grave anymore. He rose like he said he was going to do. And Thomas, what did Thomas say? He said, unless I see the scars in his hands and the piercing in his side and the scars in his feet, I will not believe. And this is a story. This is a story he said, I will never believe. And so Jesus comes along as they were gathered in the upper room, and they were gathered together praying, and the Bible says the door was locked. Now picture this. This is Jesus kind of being God. The door's locked. The door never opens. And all of a sudden, Jesus is standing in their midst. Okay. If I didn't believe before then, I will believe now. Because I didn't see that door come open. And I know it's locked. How'd you get in here? Right? And so anyway, Thomas is there. Jesus appears. And Jesus already knows. You remember I told you God already knows your thoughts before you think them? That's scriptural. Jesus goes straight over to Thomas. Thomas doesn't say anything. He goes straight over to Thomas. He says, hey, Thomas. Here. Touch. Put your hand here. Hey, Thomas, put your finger here. And you know what Thomas says? He says, a real quick sentence. He says, my Lord and my God. And he falls down and worships. Jesus didn't say, what are you crazy for not believing? What are you stupid? Why don't you believe? Why don't you believe like everybody else? He didn't condemn him. He just said, I know you're struggling. I know you're struggling. I'm going to come to you and I'm going to show you who I am. And Thomas says, my Lord, my God. That is obedience. Amen. We're going to have another time of prayer. And I'm going to pass out the communion. And the communion's for one thing, in remembrance of him. Okay? You don't have to be perfect to take it because you weren't perfect when you came to him, but you are perfect now. So therefore, take the communion. Drink the wine, which is actually grape juice. He said, this is the blood. When he drank the wine, he said, this is the blood of my new covenant. Well, what's a new covenant, Chuck? The new covenant is, I've done away with the law. I've done away with the performance-based system. I've done away with all your efforts because you're not going to make it. So I provided the way. And then now it's through my blood that you're forgiven. And not only does he take away our sins, he remembers them no more. And you think, how is that possible? because he's God and we're not. Because I can remember things people said to me very hateful a long time ago. And I'm like, God, you have to remember, you know, when I kind of just gave up on you and kind of just went my own way. You don't remember that? He says, no, I don't remember that. All I see is you, and I love you. Wow. So we drink, take of the cup, and then we take of his bread. He says, this is my body, which was broken for you. Do this, take and eat, do this in remembrance of me. What a mighty God. Amen. Amen.